Hi folks, how are you doing? Graham here. It is Thursday morning recording this. I'm in my church here in Sturbridge, as you probably see. I actually got up about 5 a.m. today and I am here getting a bunch of things done. So I thought I'd do a quick hello update, housekeeping video, let you know some things that are going on. I feel like I've been so busy in the last few weeks that I've been negligent with doing some of these videos. So probably say that every time I do a video, every 3 weeks, but I'm going to be recording some videos today. So I'm going to be putting out a new series, beginning a new series, a daily series on healing, and that should be out on my YouTube channel today. We've actually been working at putting the Sunday services here from Sturbridge online as well. So check those out every Sunday as well, and I'm going to try to get back to daily videos. So what else has been happening? I've actually been doing a bunch of work on guitar playing, singing, and songwriting recently. It's funny, I've been playing guitar since I was, I think, about 13, 14. And as some of you know, I used to earn my living playing guitar. In 1992, I was just burnt out by ministry. Long story, but I was like Jonah. I took the whale and ran away. I ran away to France, and I worked in France for a year. I was just like blanking ministry and got out. And I actually worked, I couldn't speak any French, so I managed to persuade a restaurant owner to give me a job. I said, I'll wash dishes, I'll do anything. So he gave me a job washing dishes. And within about 2 months, he made me manager of the restaurant. And I did that for about a year. And it's funny, one day a friend of mine called David, who was from Texas, we went out in the streets of France and we just started goofing around playing Beatles songs on our guitars. And, as we're playing, people began coming and just dropping money in our little guitar case there, it just kept happening. And we were just having fun. And then we went to a cafe afterwards and had a latte or whatever. And we suddenly realized, hey, we earn more money playing Beatles songs for an hour than we have done in about 3 days of work. And so we kept doing that. And in the end, I decided, hey, I actually quit my job and just started playing music. And then a year or two later, a pub there asked me if I would be the house musician. And so that in my ill-spent youth, I spent several years literally paying my rent as a professional musician. And that said, the Lord started speaking to me 2 or 3 months ago about writing songs, about just moving. I love leading worship, love using other people's songs, but about stepping into creativity with that. So I started last week. I've written a couple of songs already and just having fun every day experimenting with those things. So, boom. Hey, let me share one more thing with you as well. I'd value your prayers for this, but next week, Leah and I go for our naturalization interview. What is that like? We go through the interview to become U.S. citizens, and it's been an interesting journey, I confess. Here in America, we hear a lot about illegal immigration, and I'm not trying to touch that one, but we don't often talk about legal immigration. And frankly, if we could solve legal immigration, it would solve illegal immigration to a large degree. But we've been on a journey that began, I think, about 12 years ago now, and has cost hundreds of hours and probably about $27,000 at this stage, 28 maybe. It's very expensive to do that. And being in France and applying for a temporary visa to come and work in America for 18 months and then extending that and then a green card. And so last year we applied to become American citizens, and our interview is happening next week. So Lord willing, that will go well, but we'd value your prayers for that as well. We love America. We believe God's called us here. And like every nation, it's not a perfect nation, but I love this nation and I committed to it and want to be fully committed to it in our engagement there. So again, value your prayers for that. Boom. Hey, let me share something real quick for you guys and I'll be out of here. But verse I was thinking about earlier, I'm going to be speaking about this coming Sunday. I'll be doing worship here in Sturbridge. I'll be speaking on healing in Sunday morning, and in Sunday afternoon I will be in our church plant in the town of Otis, Massachusetts, in the Berkshires, the beautiful Berkshires. And I'm going to be speaking on, I'm going to be speaking on the verse I want to share for a couple of minutes with you now. Romans 11, verse 22. Let me read this. It says, consider, think, meditate, let it mark you. Consider, therefore, the goodness or the kindness, the goodness and the sternness or the severity, the King James says, the kindness or goodness or the sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will be cut off. And just a few quick thoughts on that. I know for some people it seems a controversial idea. You know, you have all these debates about can you lose your salvation? And let me say this. Number one, I don't want to lose my salvation. Anytime somebody asks me that, I tend to go, so you're trying to lose your salvation? Is that part of your to-do list today? I mean, why are you asking the question? And I don't want to know how far, you know, how far I have to go before I lose something. I don't want to go anywhere near that cliff edge. You know, many times I will say to leaders in churches, you know, I'll get people who will say to me, well, Graham, something wasn't defined, so I just did it. And I like to say to people, assume down, don't assume up. It's impossible to give everybody a list of all the things you can't do. So I say, if it's unclear, assume down, don't assume up. And I think, can we lose our salvation? I don't think we can lose it in the sense like, oh, I lost my salvation. I don't think we lose it in the sense of God looks at us and said, I just write you off. I throw you away in that sense. But we are saved. We were saved at the foundation of the world. We were saved at Calvary. We were saved when we responded to the gospel. But we're being saved now. And if we want to be followers of the word, not just followers of the Easter bunny or some, frankly, just some feel-good thing that we invented, we've got to follow the word. And the New Testament, the Spirit-filled, born-again New Testament is full of verses that are verses of warning. Now, again, I know that somebody says, I'm into the grace message, Graham. Yeah, me too. Amen. And no part of me rejects that. And yet, I want to take seriously verses like this. And here, Paul's writing, and he says, I want you to think about the goodness of God, the kindness of God. In the same book, Romans, the same writer, Paul, wrote in, I believe it's Romans 2, where he said it's the goodness of God, or the kindness of God, that leads us to repentance. Yeah? And here he's saying, consider the goodness of God, but the sternness of God. Think about them. Consider them. I'm carrying on with the verse in a minute, but can I say this? I think at times there are streams of Christianity that major on the goodness of God and ignore the sternness of God. And equal and opposite, there are streams of Christianity that think a lot about the sternness of God, and it's like, God's harsh. And they never talk about what a good father he is, and they think, oh, that's easy, cheesy grace, and we don't do that. And Paul says both are true. Two things can be true at the same time. God is good, and God is stern. God is righteous. God is angry at times. God is not just a puppet. Aslan is not a tame lion. And I believe in the days and years to come, for you and I, for the wider body of Christ, I think the Lord wants there to be a growth in these two things, that we know more and more. Let me start here. We know more and more and more the sternness of God. We think through, he's my father, but he's God, the Lord of the universe. I have to say this, and I'm still journeying through this, but it bothers me when people prophesy things and just stick God's name, tag God's name on things when they're not God. Now again, can we make mistakes? Yes, we can. Can we get it wrong? I've done it. So I'm not condemning anybody, but I'm saying that should be weighty upon us. I once heard about an Irish prophet who stood up in a church in Ireland and said, he said something like this. He said, thus saith the Lord, why do you, please stop saying, thus says the Lord, why dost thou attach my name to thy stupidity, says the Lord? Because if it's me, says the Lord, that is speaking, says the Lord, everybody will know it is me, says the Lord. But if it is not me, says the Lord, that is speaking, why Would they blame me for your stupidity, says the Lord? Something like that. And here's my point. We should have this thing. We've got a holy, holy God. And if we want the fear of God, the world needs to see the fear of God, the sternness of God, and the world needs to see the goodness of God. Yeah, and it's not a, in one way, salvation means nothing until you know you're lost. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, I'm now found, was blind, but now I see. Grace is not amazing until you know you're lost. Grace is not amazing until you know you are a wretch. If you come to me on a plane, on a flight, and stick a life raft or a buoyancy vest, what do you call it, life jacket around my neck and inflate it, I'm gonna go like, this is uncomfortable, what are you doing? I don't want this. But if the plane goes down and we're sinking and we jump out into the sea and I think I'm gonna drown and you put it on, you're suddenly my savior. And until the world knows it's lost, salvation is not good news. It's just another religion. It's just fooey, if you will. So we need to actually, just a quick thought, don't run away from the sternness of God. Embrace it. In a way, it's better to run towards the sternness of God and say, Lord, search my heart and know me. If you're not happy about something in my life, I'd rather hear it from you now than later. I'd rather come and say, Lord, if there's something you want to say to me, hear it now. Don't like force me into a place where judgment comes. I'd rather learn the laws proactively than have them read to me in a courthouse before I'm condemned to something. So we shouldn't run away from sternness, but we shouldn't be embarrassed about his goodness, his amazing, glorious goodness as well. Both are vital to our walk. And then it says, Paul talks about continuing in the goodness of God. And it's my last thought today, guys, but this is so powerful. How do you not get cut off? How do you not get cast away, as this verse says? How do you not be a branch that's cast into the fire? He doesn't say you don't get cut off by trying your best not to get cut off. He says you don't get cut off by continuing in the goodness. I hope you guys get that, what I've just said there. The antidote to, I won't say losing my salvation, because I don't think we lose it, but the antidote to walking away from God is continuing in his goodness. The goodness of God brings me to salvation, but the goodness of God keeps me in salvation, and it's majoring, it's thinking on, it's considering the kindness and the goodness of God that will keep us where we want to be. Boom, Selah. Hey guys, thanks for watching thus far. Why don't hit the subscribe button if you haven't done that already, and share this video. People need to hear the truth of God's word. Again, I've got a series out on healing later today. Love to have you guys hear that, share that around, and love to see you soon in the plan of God. Thanks for watching. Bye for now.